elections.pacifica.org or call 707-500-1910 to leave a voicemail for the election supervisor.
Join listener-supported KPFK. Call now, 818-985-5735.
Hi, this is Lila Downs. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 98.7 FM Santa Barbara, globally on kpfk.org.
Si porque te quiero, quieres llorona.
The icy cold curves of Angeles Crest Highway to the sunny shores of PCH. This is the Car Show, broadcasting every Saturday on 90.7 KPFK FM Los Angeles for over 50 years. I am your humble host, Mark Vaughn from AutoWeek.com. I am joined this week and every week by my favorite co-hosts in the world, our Orange County Bureau Chief, a practicing attorney, and owner of two Mazdas, Michelle Spencer. Welcome, Michelle.
Hey, Mark. Great to be here with you and Ricardo once again.
And an automotive journalism veteran who broadcasts in both English and Spanish, host of Garage Latino on Believe Network, and current president of the Hispanic Motor Press Association, Ricardo Rodriguez Long.
Hello to everyone. It's such a pleasure to share the airwaves with Mark and Michelle and all of you that are listening. And thank you again for being part of the Car Show. And way at events, we're starting to find some of our listeners. So that's even great.
Yeah, we ran into a guy when was that? Saturday, last Saturday. And there are others, lots of them out there. I met a whole bunch of them at a Ferrari Club of America event. Like five guys came up. So, I listened to that. So thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. And you can appreciate it, too, because it is still pledge drive. That's right, folks. We need your support here, not just your emotional support. You are more to us than an emotional support dog. You could be our financial support that keeps KPFK on the air, and we need your help. So all we're asking, and we'll just rifle through this really quick, and we'll get right to the calendar events. All we're asking is that you call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and please send us a little bit of money. It is something that we cannot continue on without you, without your support. This is not supported by any corporations. We do not get any government grants. This is not like that other public radio station you may listen to. This is all supported by you and you alone. And so we ask you to please call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and make a generous donation. Both Ricardo and Michelle, I think, have already made generous donations. And they're working here. So,
yeah.
We want to keep the show on the air. It's over 50 years, and that's, you know, I think it's something iconic here in LA. You know, not too many shows can say they've been lasted, you know, for over 50 years uninterrupted. So we want to keep going, and we thank you all for your support, for listening. And remember, you can send questions if you're just thinking about buying a car and you want Mark's opinion or Michelle's opinion. Perhaps send us an email through social media, and we can respond, and that answer might help somebody else.
Yeah,
this is
true. So thank you.
It's 50 years on the same channel.
But on the same channel, not with the same hosts, but it's had only a handful of hosts over the years, and they are now up at the radio station in the sky, broadcasting up there, listening to your thoughts and prayers. And our thoughts and prayers are for you to please donate to KPFK at 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and support the radio station that you like, the programming that you like that you won't get anywhere else. Okay, let's dive right into it. Michelle is going to take us down in our calendar. we're going to take us down to where, Michelle?
Well, it's actually north to Santa Barbara. Don't you want to go to Santa Barbara and take a great road trip? Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Of course you do.
Skipping down to that one? Okay.
That was the first one, isn't it?
Yes, yes.
Know. Okay.
That sounds good.
You are right.
So it's this weekend, August 10th and 11th. It's Santa Barbara County Auto Expo Weekend. This is taking place on Cliff Drive, 721 Cliff Drive in Santa Barbara. And if you would like to either show your vehicle or get a pass, go to SB, that's like B as in Barbara, sbautoexpo.ticketsauce.com.
Great name. This is August 10th and 11th. Now, the car show is August 11th. On August 10th, they
tomorrow.
Have a rally. Yes, you are correct. They have a rally, but the thing that everybody can go to is on August 11th. It's right there in Isla Vista, pretty much in Isla Vista. Just past, so you drive all the way through Santa Barbara, and you go out to the Santa Barbara County Expo. You exit on Stork Road, and from there there'll be signs pointing you to this. What it does is it supports an institution that tries to get young people and teach them how to work on cars and fix cars and restore cars. And in addition to that noble cause, they also have this car show, which you can, I mean, there's a number of great causes. First and foremost, of course, being KPFK. But after that, this sounds like a pretty good cause. The Santa Barbara County Auto Expo. Get your tickets, as Michelle said, sbautoexpo.ticketsauce.com. You can't miss that one. Ricardo, yeah.
Yeah, if you cannot make it tomorrow because your car is not ready, well, tomorrow it's also the Pomona swap meet. So that's the place where you want to go and get the parts for your car. If you have a classic car, you will always be surprised at the things you can find at this venue. This show has been going on for a long time, Mark. I don't know if it's 50 years, but
1973, I think, was when the Pomona Swap Meet started.
So about the same time then, exactly the same year.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. 73 or 75. I just saw it just...
Because I was thinking I've been going there for a long, long, long time. And now there's a lot of people that bring their show cars. You know, there's a section for Fords, a section for Volkswagens, a section for, you know, American Iron, for GM. You always find very interesting vehicles. And then on top of that, you get to walk through several aisles where there are hundreds and hundreds of vendors that have, I would say 80% is all automotive, but then sometimes you find some antique furniture, some things that you, of course, don't need, but somehow you take them home.
Yeah, so there's always something there that last time I went, there were a bunch of boat racing trophies, and I wanted to buy them, but I didn't. So
wow, it looks like it starts at 5 a.m.
5 a.m.? Well, you beat the heat, right?
Yeah.
And all the good deals are gone by 7 a.m. So if you're really serious about finding a part and it's sort of an obsolete part of an American car, you can probably find it, but it's going to be gone by 7. So, but people go early and then they stay for lunch. You know, you walk the aisles first and then you go take a look at the cars. The Pomona Swap Meet entrance, it's at 1101. West McKinley Avenue, 1101 West McKinley Avenue in Pomona. It's only about a mile or no, less than a mile off the 10 freeway on Fairplex exit.
It's right by the same place they do the drag strip, the NHRA drag strip.
That's
well,
right.
It's actually the In and Out Burger drag strip.
Excuse me. Thank you for clarifying that. Our legal counsel straightening us, keeping us all flying straight. And, okay, next week, this coming week, if you want to make a road trip, we always come up with one or two things for road trips that require a road trip. It's Monterey Car Week. Are you guys going?
Oh, no. I have to work.
Ooh. Well, that is my work, so I'm going.
I'm very tempted, but I'm just coming back from a trip, and I'll be leaving also on Monday again. And okay. My flight is at 5 a.m., so I'm not going to – I might still make it. I don't know. I have not finalized my agenda yet. I'm very tempted to go because I have not missed Monterey Weekend for many years, but the schedule is very, very busy.
All right. Well, I'll be up there, and I get up there Wednesday. So Wednesday night is Motor Lux, which used to be called the Jet Center Party. I somehow finagled a press credential to get in there, so I do not have to pay the hundreds and hundreds of dollars to get in. I'm going to actually get in early so I can shoot all the planes and cars before the influx of people on that. That's Wednesday night. A thing that used to be great, that used to be free, was Thursday morning, the tour, when all the cars that are going to be at Pebble Beach show up at the Equestrian Center up the hill from Pebble, from the golf course, and they start off on a drive down. Yeah, now it's down the coast. It used to go up and over the Laurelis grade there, which is kind of hard on some of those engines. So now I don't think they do that anymore because they didn't want any cars overheating or anything. Yeah, we want to see them run, but we don't want to destroy them before the show. So that used to be now, from what I understand, they're charging you to get into that. I'll have to report back and tell you whether.
Yeah, what happened is they're doing the drive through the 17 mile.
Right.
So, which is, you know, you have gated entrance and exits, so it's very easy to track who can get in and who cannot. I don't know. Something that I noticed through the years is definitely this weekend has become something that no one ever thought it will grow so much, because you have the Motorlux, you have Concorso Italiano, you have the Quail, you have five auctions going on at the same time. You have the Rolex Reunion, which runs cars for almost a week. And then you have the Concourse of Elegance at Pebble Beach. There's a lot of other private events that are going on. So I'm just surprised, and I don't know, the ticket prices for all these things have been going up and up and up and up, and they're still selling out. So I don't know if the prices keep going out just to stop people from participating, or just, I don't know. Recall that at Pebble Beach, you could not get in until 10 a.m. unless you were a photographer with special passes to be able to get some shots without people. Right now at 7 a.m., it's already full. And even and the doors are still closed. So yeah, how that
dawn
happens,
patrol.
I don't know. Yeah.
Dawn patrol. So anyway, yeah, you used to be able to, but you can still see the tour if you're up there. You can't see, well, you can see the tour, and you can see, you cannot get into the Quail for free, but on Saturday morning, you can get into Concours de Le Mans. And I am in the works right now planning a little thing for Concours de Le Mans that might, in and of itself, be worth you guys driving all the way up there.
I saw your Lancia, and you know, I was really surprised because you somehow, I think, you have lost the heart. It's a beautiful car. It's in good condition. It's drivable. You know, it only needs a little bit more turtle wax to get it close to the Dana Point Concourse. So I will not give up on that, Mark.
All right, let's keep going. Concorso Italiano on Saturday also, and of course Sunday Pebble, and from August 14th to 17th, the Monterey Motorsports Reunion up at Laguna Seca. Just to remind you that this is all still going on, maybe you want to fire up the jet and land at Monterey Airport there or not. Down in our neck of the woods, if you're not going up north, remember that how long ago was it? It was maybe 6 months ago that Honda started the Cars, Bikes, and Coffee show at the American Honda Collection Hall at their headquarters down in Torrance. Well, they're going to have another one Saturday, August 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Now, the first one was, parking was a bit of a challenge. Getting into the place was a bit of a challenge. We're assuming that they're, every time they're getting it better and better, smoother and smoother. But it should be a good show. They say this month's theme is street performance, and they say they're going to be celebrating all cars, bikes, like the Acura NSX and Type S models, and the Honda Type R. Boy, there's a lot of Honda Type R's and SI models. There are motorcycles, the CBR RR, the RC, the VFR, et cetera. These are all what they're listing. Plus, as this year is the 25th anniversary of the S2000, incredible. It's been 25 years. Remember when I remember going on the press trip to that over in Japan, driving around the big racetrack over there. So they'll have special displays of that, not to mention live DJ food trucks. They have a Starbucks there in the lobby. The Power of Dreams store is open, so you can buy Honda paraphernalia. There'll be 20 vendors and exhibitors and a limited edition store sale only S2000 25th anniversary items.
That's that was a nice car. S2000, that was a fun car to drive.
It redlined at 9,000 RPM.
Yep. Yeah. It was like two completely different cars. You have one feeling of a car under 5,000 RPMs, and once you get the 5,500 RPM, then it was like a rocket. It was like, wow.
It was all way up there at the top of the tack. Torque. And that's what, you know, people who like turbos, small displacement turbos, the JDM cars, they love that. You look at the NSX and I think that's a great car. And the S2000, I didn't appreciate the power band and where the horsepower was. It was all seemed like it was all up at the top. I don't know. Maybe I like torque. Maybe I'm just an electric car slappy. Who knows? But it's 25 years old. So,
but they don't make them anymore.
No, they don't, because nobody buys them. A small, very vocal group loves them, but not enough people buy them. People are buying crossover utility vehicles. Yay!
Oh, yes.
Because they're practical.
Grown.
I have the Honda Odyssey minivan, and that is the ultimate practical thing. We'll talk about that later. I think we're going to talk about that next week, but Honda still makes great cars, great motorcycles, and everything else.
I was going to say, remember in the beginning when you were talking about this event, you were talking about the traffic congestion. Okay, well, they're saying if you're going to go to this, enter on Main Street off Harper's Way at the north end of the Honda campus.
Okay.
That's what want you to do.
All right. Yeah, that's kind of like a side street almost, but good. That's good news. Good information. Enter on Main Street off Harper's Way, north end of campus. All right. So we got you covered for that weekend. But if that's still not enough,
there's more.
August 17th, the Tri-5 Celebration Car Show. Now, Tri-5, as you know, refers to 1955, 56, 57, thus the Tri, 3 years of the fabulous Chevrolet. The Chevrolet, what, the Bel Air, it's put on, the event is
Impala.
Hosted by the what?
Impala,
yeah. It's hosted by California Nomads, which was also, I believe, one of the Tri-5 variants there. And it's going to be August 17th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Lyons Automobilia Museum, 2790 East Del Amo Boulevard, Rancho Dominguez, California. And this is a makeup date, actually. So, you know, if you couldn't make the first one, it didn't happen. It's happening August 17th. And they're going to have guest speakers. Guest speakers are going to be John McGann and Lucky Costa with Project X. There's going to be food, music, skills, challenge for kids, and an opportunity drawing for the planned event. So that's August 17th, the Tri-5 Celebration Show at the Lyons Automobilia Foundation. But there's another one that takes us off the ground. Who wants to take that one? Up in the sky.
Well, I've been to that show. Wings Over Camarillo is an air show and car show combination. And if you're into airplanes, they do a great job. And it's always nice to see. I'm always amazed when I see these airplanes from the 1950s, 60s. That still a lot of mechanical components, you know, how you move the rods and, you know, all these things, the linkages. And I go like, oh, my God, you had to be brave. I'm glad that people didn't know how these airplanes were built when they were traveling because it's just amazing when engineering is done right. They don't leave a lot of room for error. And that's why we see the race cars of the 1950s and 60s being built just like airplanes, maximizing the stress of every component. But these wings over Camarillo, it also have some military airplanes. It's an event for the whole family. It's going to be warm. It's still summertime. The gates open at 9 a.m. It is right at the Camarillo Airport, which is at 555 Airport Way in Camarillo. And lots of cars, lots of airplanes. I think, again, one of those family events that you can have a very nice, enjoyable summer day with your family enjoying airplanes on cars.
You
can get more information and directions if you go to wingsovercamarillo.com. Again, wingsovercamarillo.com.
That's August 17th and 18th. What time did you say that starts?
The gates open at 9 a.m.
Okay.
So,
yep. All right.
And the flying starts around 10 a.m.
All right. Very good. Okay. And speaking of flying, we need you to fly to your keyboard and go to kpfk.org or fly to your phone and please dial 818-985-5735 and make a generous donation to KPFK. We cannot go on without your support. We get $0 from the federal government, unlike other public radio stations. We get $0 from major corporations. We are, therefore, all the shows here are totally unswayed by money. It is all coming from you. You guys out there are the ones who support KPFK and will continue to support it, we hope, by generously calling 818-985-5735 or going to kpfk.org. Michelle, do you remember the web address to donate your car to KPFK?
Yeah, it's the same web address, kpfk.org. You go up to the left-hand corner, and you can click, and that will give you a menu for filling out a form for your vehicle donation. And also, if you want to just make a phone call, there is a dedicated line for vehicle donations, and that is 877-573-5288. Yes, they will tow your car. And it doesn't cost you a dime.
What an appropriate way to support the car show on KPFK. Donate your car. That old Duesenberg sitting out there, you have a Ferrari GTO gathering dust out in the barn. Donate it to KPFK and keep us on the air for just a little longer, hopefully forever, for the next 50 years. The car show is over 50 years old. Let's make it to 100. And we'll see that. Okay, news, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start out. Ricardo and I went to a really cool car show down in Los Angeles at the old Lowry's facility down there on 26th Street, just north of downtown Los Angeles, called Machinissima 2. Ricardo, did you have a good time?
Oh, it's always a great time when you go to car shows, and especially when they have a theme, because then you I don't know. At least that's what I like. Instead of seeing a mix cars.
Like cars and coffee kind of mix.
Yeah. I like when they have a theme. And the theme for Machinissima, obviously, just the sound of it, it had to be Italian. But it wasn't just Italian cars. I think the great thing about this is we had bicycles, scooters, motorcycles, and cars, all with Italian provenance. So I thought it was great. And also, I think they did a very good job where they were not thinking of, okay, let's put a lot of Ferraris here. No, there were non-repeating models. So there were Ferraris, but there was one 355, one Dino, one this and that. And same thing with the Alfa Romeos and the Lancias, Fiats. It was very, very enjoyable. The place itself, I thought it was great. Great location. I'm glad to see all these old trees that provide a lot of shade.
It looked to me like an Italian villa, because there was a courtyard with this cool old building, and there was even a tower there. You can see pictures of it at autoweek.com and scroll down to the Car Life section. And it was just so cool. It looked like an Italian villa, perfect setting for an Italian car show. And there was everything there. As Ricardo said, we had a Ferraris. There was a 330 America, a 365 GTB4, some more modern Ferraris. Yes, of course, you expect that. And a couple of supercars, Lamborghinis, and things like that. There was a Lamborghini Miura, for instance, two Espadas. But the thing that made it really cool was all the more common Italian cars there. There were a lot of Alfa Romeos, because that Mark has a huge following, very dedicated people, and they all brought their cars out there. The Jim Barrett and company from the Alpha Club were well represented there. I was there with my Lancia Appia. The thing made it there and made it home. I may have figured out the way to start it. Just don't use the choke at all. That's what I learned.
It's summertime.
It's summertime. Yeah, it's not cold. So maybe that's it. Yeah, that's it.
It's summertime. You didn't need a joke.
It was Italian, so many, you know, likes the warm weather.
There were Giulietta's, GTVs, Alfetta's. There was one guy showed up, his family of five showed up in a Fiat 124 wagon. They're just this delightful family. They just, like, it was no big deal. You know, they didn't get out and kiss the ground and thank God that they made it. No, it was just like a regular drive for them. And they had motorcycles. There were Vespas, Ducatis, Aprilias. And one motorcycle, Ricardo, you saw it, with the Ferrari dual cam Ferrari V8 engine in a motorcycle.
That's right.
It was crazy.
And it was a functional motorcycle, I might say.
It seemed everything was hooked up. I did not see it run, but it looked crazy. Our friends from Pro Italia were there with I think they brought five motorcycles. Of course, they sell Ducatis, new Ducatis, Aprilias, and a whole line of Italian cars.
There were even a couple of, there were two Bimotas, which you rarely see them anymore.
Right. Those were rare. I saw a couple of those at the Quail Motorcycle Gathering, and you never see those anywhere.
Now, I have to say, and excuse me, maybe I'm just getting too old, I was not aware of people modifying their scooters, you know, these Lambrettas and Vespas with, you know, huge front disc brakes, special exhaust systems hooked up. You know, I mean, I was very surprised. And on top of that, with customized paint jobs and seats, I was thinking maybe I need to get something like this. That was a lot of fun to see.
Yeah, there were a lot of scooters there. Everybody was having a good time. People would ride those bicycles. They had Italian racing bicycles of the type that you see maybe if you go to a bike shop, and it's the right kind of bicycle shop. Up on the wall is a big black and white picture of some guy in the Tour de France or something from way back when. That's the kind of bicycles that were there. I met one guy who rode his from his home in downtown Los Angeles. He was having a good time,
too. And very lovely DJ. That was also pretty good.
Yeah. DJ was there. In fact, I think there were two DJs later. They switched over to another one. Now, the first one, there was too much treble in the sound, and it was like piercing my ears.
But it was 1960s sound.
It wasn't painful in the 60s. But anyway, everything else was great. I mean, even the drinks, the food and drinks were all Italian there. It was pretty cool. They had Aperol, Campari, and Peroni drinks. So that was nice. And the food too, of course, pizza, obviously, but some other things. And there was a bar with Italian drinks too. So everybody was having a good time. And they're going to make a Macanissima 3, they said, although we don't have any details on that. But it was such a good turnout that they are going to do it again. And I say, good. However you say that in Italian, bene bene.
Molto bene.
Molto bene.
Molto bene. So, all right.
Oh, Mark.
What did I?
The pronunciation, but we'll work on it.
That's why your Lancia doesn't work.
Molto bene.
Molto bene.
Scuso.
I'm sure you're offending your Lancia when you talk Italian. And then he goes, I'm not starting now.
Offending Italian listeners all across Southern
and
California.
Co-host.
Yeah. And
you're very Italian co-host.
And speaking of offending others, there's a new attempt to bring order to electric vehicle charging here in California. As you know, you're supposed to, the etiquette says you're supposed to only plug in until your electric vehicle is back up to 80%. right? Well, some people just sit there and charge and charge and charge, even if there's a line behind them. You know, the way battery chemistry works, you can go from 10% to 80% pretty quickly, depending on how many kilowatts you're using and how fast your onboard charger is and things like that. You can get there in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, up to 80%. It's the last 20% that takes almost as long as the first part there. So the etiquette is when you hit 80%, if someone's waiting, you unplug and you get out of there. Well, people weren't doing that. And I
don't think you need to enforce this, because I give an example. If I go at midnight because I want to fully charge the vehicle and there's nobody
If there's no one waiting, you don't have to do this.
Right,
if there's
now,
somebody, this is only if there's somebody waiting.
Yeah, but now I'm not going to be able to do it because they're going to charge me extra money for me to charge the vehicle.
Well, let me finish the news item here before we criticize it. Electrify America, one of America's biggest charging companies, is experimenting with a solution to the problem of what they call charger hogs, according to CNN. Who can make it slow and unpleasant to charge an EV? And so at 10 of the busiest EV charging stations in California, Electrify America has enacted a strict limit. Once a car's batteries are 85% charged, charging will automatically stop and the driver will be told to unplug and leave or face additional 40 cents per minute idle time fees for taking up the space. It's similar to something Tesla vehicles do automatically. When a Tesla car, truck, or SUV plugs into a particularly heavily used supercharger station, the vehicle itself may automatically limit charging to just 80% to, quote, reduce congestion, according to Tesla's online supercharger support webpage. And, you know, something's got to be done with this. I have been lucky enough, even on long hauls, I didn't encounter this when I take that back. When people were waiting. And so we unplugged at 80% and we got the heck out of there to let everybody else get it. Because at this stage in the adoption of electric vehicles, there are not that many electric vehicle charging stations out there. And especially on a busy weekend, it can get backed up. It can be kind of a mess. And those are the pictures that they always take the picture of the place in, what's that stop between LA and San Francisco, Harris Ranch. They always show that place on a Sunday night when everybody's trying to get home, you know, and the line's all backed up. So this is one way to begin to address that as we await the rollout of greater efficiency and a greater number of charging stations.
Have there been any incidents of people, you know, having charging rage and taking on the guy who's the hog?
I have witnessed that myself. And
charging rage.
And I've seen that myself, and definitely it's very discouraging.
Yeah.
And I've seen it more than once. And I think in both instances, they were wrong. The people doing it were wrong. But anyway, these things are just the beginning. I think this is also affecting. When I'm waiting for charging, you know, I usually ask people, hey, what do you think? What's your experience with electric vehicle? And I would say, in my view, is about 50-50. I noticed a report earlier this week where 42% of the people that own an electric car says they're not going back to an electric car once their lease or whatever, once the time is up, they're not going to consider it because it's just too much of a hassle. And on top of that, you have to think of the pricing and all that. But we are at the beginning of this, so I'm sure there will be a lot of new developments in the next 5 to 10 years. Definitely the hybrids are going to, I think, be probably the most selling vehicles in terms of volume. Hybrids do make sense at the moment until we have better infrastructure overall.
Infrastructure is coming slowly but surely, but yeah, right now it is not there. Although I always see just like 40 Tesla charging stations that are empty. That's just purely anecdotal. But so as the Tesla charging network is opened up, this, what do they call it? The supercharger network. As that opens up to more manufacturers, that's one way to address the problem as we transition to a fully electric world out
agreed.
There.
Agreed. Yes.
Yeah.
Now, something that you're not going to need a supercharger, talking about an electric supercharger, you're going to need a lot of gasoline, actually. AC, the car company AC in England, has just launched a new AC Cobra Coupe.
Oh.
And it looks exactly the same as the 1964 version because pretty much they're replicating that vehicle. And I thought it was very, very interesting because I guess there's still a market for that. And they're going to limit just to 99 units. We're talking about an identical 1964 Cobra, but this time with a V8 that has not 800, but 799 horsepower. It's just the pricing starts around $300,000 to $325,000. So hurry up, Michelle, if you're thinking of replacing your Miata with this new AC Cobra Coupe.
Is that available in the U.S., Ricardo?
It's going to be available worldwide because it is.
It's going to pass U.S. crash test standards?
It doesn't have to. It falls into the category of a small production vehicle. It's only 99 units. So,
but they still have to federalize the engine and the exhaust, which is the problem that that was supposed to be the savior of these small vehicle manufacturers and everybody
But Mark,
says at he that can't level,
you could not buy a Porsche 959 if you recall, and we find vehicles with license plates even at the car show. I don't know which. Where did you park your vehicle? But as I walked back to my car, I found two cars that have never been available in the United States, and they have California license plates. So there's always a way. And if you can muster $350,000 on a car, I'm sure some state like Montana will find a way to register your car.
All right. Well, as always with these things, consult your attorney before making this purchase. Consult Michelle Spencer.
If you care.
Yeah. The AC was, of course, the company that, that's what Carroll Shelby bought and stuffed. What was it? A 289 was the first?
Yes. Yeah, the first. Well, the first one was a 260. The first VA
right.
was a 260.
And where did they do that engine stuffing? Who remembers? Bit of trivia.
What, in Culver City?
At Moon Equipment in Santa Fe Springs.
Oh, Santa Fe Springs.
Dean Moon's place. That's where Carroll Shelby went and stuffed it in there. And
yeah, that's where they put the 260s, which they didn't make too many of the 260s. I think within a year or so, they were already put in the 289.
289, but, yeah. That was still the slab-sided Cobras, and then they went on and on and made all kinds more. And they're still making them out in Las Vegas. Where there are no laws, apparently, and you can get away with anything. They're making Shelby's. Don't ask so many questions. Just give us the money. Right. We'll give you a car.
Yep. And you can go to their museum or shop and watch them make them.
Yeah, you can.
Have you gone out there?
I've been out there, and I've driven a few of them, and, some of them ran. So,
to your point, Mark, how about our friends at Super Performance? See, those
are kit cars. Those are kit cars. That's a different thing. They're not small volume manufacturers. They are registered as kit cars. That's how they are able to do that. And I don't know if AC Cobra is doing the same thing, but yeah, it's nice that they're still around and still making these things. But
yeah, it's really nice.
That's fun.
Yeah. On the other end of the spectrum, a little bit more practical than a Cobra, Ricardo has news about the Ford Maverick.
And it's 100% legal in California. You don't have to worry about re-registering in Montana. Well, Maverick, as you know, Ford knows how to make pickup trucks, and they just came out with the newest version, the 2025, which now it's an all-wheel drive, and all of these will be hybrids. So that's a change, and it's a welcome change because this vehicle is really selling pretty well. It uses the 2.5-liter hybrid engine that it's just below the 200 horsepower. And also they have the 2-liter turbo EcoBoost with more power, but the hybrid is what it really gets my attention, because I tested this when it came out 2 years ago, 3 years ago, and I was very impressed. And now that it's an all-wheel drive with better technology, I think it's a very handy vehicle. It's almost the pickup truck size that you need when you're really not a pickup truck owner. Having that space is very handy, but it's a four-door that is very comfortable. I love the interior that is so minimalist but so colorful that it makes you feel young. A very, very nice vehicle. And the best thing, there is still price around $25,000. So $25,000 to get a hybrid that you can do 40 miles per gallon and still be able to tow, and still having a bed that you can really put a plywood behind. I think Ford knows how to do a truck, and this is proof that they know their customers. I've been very impressed. So if you're looking for a small pickup truck, definitely you want to take a look at the new a Maverick that it's just coming out of the market. By the way, there is a do you know the donut place? What the famous donut place close to
Donut Derelicts?
No. Where you buy donuts?
Well, there's a donut
Randy's,
shop.
Randy's has Maverick donut
named after the truck.
Yes, they work in conjunction with Ford Motor Company, and they develop this donut that it looks like the wheels of the Maverick. If you're in the area and you want to have a good donut, Randy's Donuts, always amazing donuts, and now you can have your own Ford Maverick donut.
I'm gonna head down there right now. Donuts, who doesn't love donuts? Everybody loves donuts, so looking forward to that. That sounds good. What does that compete against the Maverick? That you've got the Honda Ridge line, and Hyundai Santa Fe, right?
No, the Santa Cruz.
Santa Cruz, right? Excuse me.
Yeah, the Hyundai Santa Cruz, which is it's a completely different take to this Maverick. The Santa Cruz, I like the styling. It doesn't look like a pickup truck. I think they did a wonderful design because it just hides the bed very cleverly. But the Ford, it looks like a pickup truck. It looks like it's supposed to look like, and it's built for that purpose. So those two will be the most comparable. I think the Honda falls into a different category altogether. And we know that only Honda people are buying the Ridgeline. I have not met anyone that has a Ridgeline without having another Honda product in their life.
Okay. And speaking of products in your life, we need you in our life to donate money or whatever you can to KPFK, because this is our pledge drive. And without you, we cannot keep going forever. We need you to come up, step up to the plate, and please donate something, however small, however large. You can write us into your will. You can donate your car, bus, truck, or RV to KPFK. Go to kpfk.org, or you can call 818-985-5735. And if you do that now during the hour you're listening to this show, we sort of, I think in the greater scheme of things, we get credit for it. So if you wait and donate later at 3 a.m, whatever's on there, I'm sure it's a fine show, but they'll get credit for it. So call right now, please. Just $10, $20, $50, $1 million, whatever you want to donate, please do so. Call 818-985-5735 or go to kpfk.org and support us, won't you? We know we can trust you, or we know we can count on you. Of course, we trust you too. Maybe that's our mistake. Now, we're moving into car reviews, and Ricardo once again has what looks like a very comfortable, sporty performance coupe to talk about.
Yes, and I just want to sort of think about this, is what does the term coupe mean, and where does it come from? I mean, originally, we know that when we had the transition from the horse buggy, the horse cart, right, to the automobile, pretty much they decided, well, the horse is in the front, let's put the engine in the front. And the bodies were pretty much modified versions of the horse-drawn carriages that we had at the time. And the French had a term for your typical carriage that carry 4 or 6 passengers. And then there was a version where they kind of chop it off and made it into a 2 people. So it'll be lighter, right? A lighter carriage that only one horse can pull it up and be very nimble and agile. And they called that a coupe. Well, when the cars became autonomous due to their engine in the front, then the term coupe means like, hey, this is a, it's a 2 people faster type of car. And through the history of the automobile, every time we talk about a coupe or coupe, we think of a sports car. It's a 2-seat version that is very fast, agile, and nimble. But some years ago, and I think I remember BMW being one of the first ones, some cars have started using that term coupe or coupe with 4 doors, which was like, wait a minute, that is not correct term. But okay, they made a car to look like a 2-door with hiding 4 doors. But that term then, it started to be used with SUVs. And then we have several examples like BMW and Mercedes-Benz where they have SUVs that they call coupe with these curved roofs that look like coupes. And now the luxury Korean maker come up with the new GV80 coupe or coupe, which it does look like a sports car, but it gives you the advantages of the interior space of an SUV. And I have to say that when I compare the Genesis GV80 to the current lineup of the 4-door SUV coupes from Germany, I mean the BMW and Mercedes, the Korean designers have done a great job because the car feels agile, light. Just when you look at it, it feels like, right, yes, that's the design that makes me feel that this is a light vehicle. In my mind, there's a lot more Aston Martin to this GV80 Coupe than the Mercedes and BMW.
That is high praise indeed. They would love to hear that. That quote is going to wind up on an ad somewhere.
So I was very impressed by the looks. But we know looks are not, you have to back that up. what they did. Well, they just use the engine that they use in their flagship, the same engine in the G90 sedan, which is a 3.5-liter double overhead cam V6 with twin turbos, one on each side, and an electric supercharger. Yeah, one of those superchargers that work with an electric motor so you don't take power from the engine. The result is 400 horsepower, actually, to be exact, it's 405, and 400 foot-pound of torque. Definitely a very quick motor that pulls the GV80 coupe pretty fast in acceleration. But there's more to that because, yes, Mark?
I'm looking at the picture of this right now, and that's an SUV. How do they get coupe out of that thing?
Well,
it's a 5-door SUV, a large one. It does not look nimble. It does. I don't know. They call it a coupe, and it says it. Ricardo is correct. He's entirely correct because it says it on their webpage, genesis.com, GV80 coupe, and there are pictures of an SUV. The world has gone insane.
Well, but they're not the first ones or the only ones.
No, that's correct. BMW started it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, have the same thing, So I can understand where if you are not convinced on having a full SUV for your family, or you need the space, but you want to feel like it's, a little bit sportier look, here is an option. But what I like about this car, besides the look, because I think it's the best look within that group of vehicles, not only the engine, it's very powerful, but it's matched to an 8-speed transmission. It's also all-wheel drive, has an electronic dynamic suspension. You can adjust the modes, you can program the different modes. How do you want this car to feel to you? So it has a comfort mode that's awesome, but then you click the button and you have this sport mode plus, and then even one more, it's sport and then sport plus mode, where you can even listen to this, Mark, and listen, friends, you can adjust how the brakes feel. So if you want more brake or less brake when you drive in. So this is taking, all these things to another level where the customization of the car is really like a sports car, but it is an SUV type vehicle. A lot of kudos on the technology on this car. I think they've done a lot of things in terms of performance. The car is very smooth. You cannot feel the gear changes going on. It's pretty quick. We did travel with the vehicle. We did probably over 200 miles, different type of highways, city. On the highway, we did exceed speed limit in that particular state. I'm not proud to say it, but you know, hey, we needed to test the vehicle.
Ticket? Did you get a ticket?
No, we can't.
Because I know an attorney who can represent you in court.
Yes, yes. We, knowing that we have our own attorney, you know, we carry her card, and just when the police shows up, it's here.
Just
here
drop her name, and the cops, right. Oh, didn't realize, go on your way. Hey, but I'm looking at competitors for this, and there's some pretty nice competitors, right? Oh, for
yeah.
Because this the Genesis costs about 80 grand or so to start.
And yeah, that's about right.
You can get a BMW X5 plug-in hybrid for that. You can get a Lincoln, well, Aviator, Volvo XC90
Recharge. But you're not talking about coupes, Mark. You're not talking about coupes.
This thing is not a coupe.
Take a look at the Mercedes-Benz four-door
SUV. Okay, I'm going to start
SUV
calling
coupe,
myself.
But it's $100,000.
I'm going to just start saying, yeah, I won the Nobel Prize in Literature. Yeah. Why not? Because this is the era. It's not even truthiness anymore. It's just like... Like, we're all making up whatever we
we're
want.
We're all just identifying as.
Well, that's why I started this segment.
I identify as a coupe.
Yeah, that's why I started this segment with the definition of coupe and where it comes from.
I gotcha.
And it's not just
and
the
today,
roof line.
Like, it doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah. Wow.
The best part of the car, though, even though it looks like I'm selling the car, is the interior. The interior, very high quality materials, lots of details. And definitely is something that it will get your attention. But Mark, what did you drive?
On the other end, they didn't call this one a coupe. It is, in fact, a sedan. And Ooh. It is not just any sedan. It is a Mercedes. As we know, Mercedes makes a number of cool cars. But the coolest cars that they make are, in fact, the AMG vehicles. So I just got into, and the embargo just lifted off of the 2024 Mercedes AMG C63 SE Performance. Now, the interesting thing, there's a lot of interesting things about this, but let's go right to the heart of it. It is a 2-liter turbo. Now you're
Wait a minute, it's a four-cylinder two-liter turbo,
and they're calling it a C63.
This is another. It's supposed to be a 6.3-liter
right.
V8.
Yeah, it's what was the red one that started AMG? The red that was a 6.3-liter V8. Remember, it was like the red hog or something.
And actually, there was a C63 some years ago when it did have the 6.3-liter V8.
Right. Now, you are thinking that this is an outrage, and you are starting to write letters to your congressman right now demanding that they stop calling this a C63. But hear me out on this, because I just drove it. How much horsepower did some of those earlier ones have? This one, I'm sure, has more. This one has 671 horsepower, 752 pound-feet of torque. That's in a C-Class. That's going to – and it's all-wheel drive. It's the 4MATIC all-wheel drive. That's going to light up and get you going. Now, I think that with those kind of numbers, it's worthy. Again, they'll say, like I asked him, I said, well, what's the displacement on your C63? And, you know, they said, well, it's a 2.0-liter four-cylinder. Now, that sounds ipso facto ridiculous, but they took some technology straight from their Formula One car. And let me try to explain this technology to you. It's a turbocharger, and normally a turbocharger just takes the exhaust air that is blown out of the engine. It spins one side of the turbocharger, and the impeller is on the other end of the shaft. And that impeller compresses the air that goes into your engine and gives you more power. It's like free power because it's wasted energy anyway. Well, now what Mercedes has done is they took that shaft and they put an electric motor on it. So when the exhaust gas flow is not high enough to create any significant compression for the engine, the electric motor spins that shaft and creates the compression for the engine. So what you wind up with is it's essentially almost like a supercharger, you know, almost like an electrically driven supercharger, except that once the engine speed gets up to a certain threshold, then you no longer need the electric motor to be spinning it. Now, how fast is that? How fast can they spin that impeller? Everybody take a guess. I want to hear your guess. How fast do you think that they spin that shaft on that turbocharger? RPMs.
RPMs? Oh.
75,000.
75,000, Michelle. Give me a number.
9,000.
175,000. OMG. Not AMG. I'm telling OMG here on this C63. Now, I was lucky enough. The fools, they gave me a car for a day and I drove it around. I drove it on really nice roads up in Malibu, Dabu, as they call it locally, where Decat is still the king. Only people who are in Malibu in the 60s will get that reference. So let's just move on. And I was expecting it to be either peaky power or not enough power. And I found it to have more than enough power. I mean, 671 horsepower and 752 pound-feet of torque was more than enough for sure. So, yes, Ricardo.
And you have to give credit, a lot of credit to the engineers, because we're still talking about a two-liter engine. So yeah, that's amazing performance out of, you know, we're talking about 300 horsepower per liter. That is amazing performance. And yes, they have taken something from Formula One, which, let me just remind the audience, if you're not aware, but the Formula One engines are 1.6 liter. 1.6 liter that generates 1,000 horsepower. So
it's technology, baby. We're marching forward. Now, this also has, in addition to that turbo system that I described, it has a 201 horsepower electric motor at the rear axle. So it's a hybrid, of course, and that is how it gets that 671 horsepower. Very impressive setup. And it'll get 0 to 60 in 3.3 seconds. I mean, what more do you need? And that there's also a two-speed transmission on that rear, I don't want to say transaxle, because it is like an additional transmission. So you have two speeds there, and you get up to 87 miles per hour, it switches gears. So anyway, speaking of switching gears, that's what we're going to do right now. We're going to beg you once again to please support KPFK however you can, with however much money you happen to have lying around. Raid the kids' college fund, you know, take grandma's retirement fund, whatever it takes. Oh, no, that's probably staff attorney. Was that was encouraging?
That would be elder financial abuse. That's
just among other things.
Oh, yeah.
Thank goodness we have. Okay, do not raid grandma's retirement fund, but raid your own piggy bank to support the car show on KPFK. Call in at 818-985-5735 and please do that. KPFK.org. is another fine way. And we're almost out of time here, folks. Stick around, because we have Bill Garner coming up after this. Rhapsody in Black, great music you didn't know you loved until you heard it. And Michelle, tell everybody our Facebook page, please.
Right. Yeah. Please join us at the car show on KPFK 90.7 FM.
That's on Facebook. So go there, write down some pithy quotes, send us a note, send us whatever, and we will see you next week here on The Car Show.
Those of us who work in community radio have always understood the power of passionate and committed individuals.
And that's what this time, Fun Drive Time at KPFK, is all about.
If you're passionate about the current affairs and cultural programming that KPFK brings to you every day, come rain or come shine,
then please commit yourself to our future.
Pledge your support to KPFK securely online at kpfk.org/donate.
Or give us a call at 818-985-5735.
That's
818-985-KPFK. Thank you. Support comes from the Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum, returning June 1st through October 20th with outdoor repertory theater and educational programs for all ages. The Theatricum's signature production of Shakespeare's Midsummer Night's Dream is back alongside The Winter's Tale, Wendy's Peter Pan, a fresh take on the J.M. Barrie classic of a boy who wouldn't grow up, Tartuffe Born Again, a new translation and adaptation of the Molière masterpiece, and the Hispanic, Latino, Latina, Latinx, Latine Vote. The Will Gear Theatricum Botanicum is located in the